The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
And greetings, friends around the world. Are we living in America's last days? How much longer will the United States exist? Why will America cease to exist as we now know it? What action should you and your family be taking now? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith explores America's last days. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Sir Winston Churchill stated before the American Congress during World War II, there is a great design and purpose being worked out here below. What is that great purpose? Do you know? Few men really know, and very few ministers know, because the God of creation is not real, even to most professing ministers and churchgoers. That's right. The God of the Bible is not real to them. About one-fourth of the entire Bible is devoted to prophecy, but most ministers studiously avoid preaching about that one-fourth of the Bible. Yet our Creator says, He tells us, that we had better listen to that one-fourth of His inspired Word. Notice what the Apostle Peter wrote in your Bible. And please go get a Bible, my friends, if you have one. Get a Bible, follow, check up on me. Don't just take my words for granted. I don't ask you to do that on this program. We want you to check up and to prove and know that you know what your Creator says. He says things are going to happen, and He knows. Men don't know. The pundits don't know. The newscasters don't know. God does know. Listen to what God says. Turn to 2 Peter near the end of your New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1 and beginning in verse 19. He writes, "We also have the prophetic word made more sure." Now, on this program, I regularly read from the New King James Bible, but the old King James says we have the sure word of prophecy, which sounds a little better, doesn't it? The sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of you have been taught you don't need to follow the Old Testament, but the New Testament constantly refers back to the Old Testament. And Peter said the word of prophecy was written by inspired men. They were inspired of God. And Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And yet the only written word of God they had back then was what we call the Old Testament. And we're to live by it. Have you studied the Old Testament? Do you understand these prophecies? You need to do so. We're not afraid to tell you to study and check up. We want you to study and check up. Notice what God has done in blessing the United States and the British descended peoples, my friends. Here's a prophecy that I can prove to you, and we will prove to you through a booklet, and I'll show you part of it right on this program that refers to us. Notice back in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22, after Abraham had shown himself willing to sacrifice his only son, God spoke to him. Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. Then the angel of the Eternal called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Eternal, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. In blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore." And your descendants, Abraham's descendants, were to become a tremendous multitude of people in the latter days, as other scriptures make plain. Great masses, millions of people, a multitude of people like the stars of heaven, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Which peoples of the last 200 years have been mightily blessed and have possessed vital gates of their enemies? Great sea gates which control commerce in times of war, passage of military vessels, and so forth. the Bab el-Mandeb is the gate at the southern entrance of the Red Sea. It was controlled for years by Britain. It's been taken away, but God gave it to Great Britain. The Suez Canal was at the northern entrance to the Red Sea and has been regarded in the past as the greatest sea gate on earth. God gave that to Britain, and yet that was taken away once we began to turn away from God after the Second World War. And so Britain also controls Singapore and the Malacca Straits, a very tremendous, vital sea gate out in Southeast Asia, and that's been taken away. At the southern entrance of Africa, the southern tip of Africa, called the Cape of Good Hope, is a great sea base called the Simonson's Base. Britain controlled that for years, controlling that great sea passage, and that was taken away. The Panama Canal was given to the United States for a long time, about 70 or 90 years, whatever, yet God allowed that gate to be given away during the Jimmy Carter administration here in America. We gave up that great sea gates. And so God himself is beginning to intervene and humble us and cause us to lose the pride we used to have in our power, including these sea gates. They're all virtually gone. There is a vital reason for this, my friends. The only major sea gates left in danger of being taken away are Gibraltar, controlled by Great Britain, but which could fall any day or any month, perhaps, to Spain or Morocco. The Falkland Islands control the tip around South America, the Cape Horn is called. That gate, the Falkland Islands, may fall to Argentina. Not that these other nations are bad, but God simply gave those gates to the descendants of Joseph, and now they're being taken away because of our sins. Turn to Genesis 48, verse 14. Israel stretched out his hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. In other words, Israel did what you normally wouldn't do. He put his right hand on the younger son's head. The sons of Joseph. Joseph was the one who stored up the grain in Egypt. Joseph was the one who was to receive the birthright promise. And here is Israel, Jacob, giving that promise. And Jacob blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who's fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who's redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name, the name of Israel, be named on them. These were not Jews. Joseph was the younger brother of Judah. The Jews come from Judah. But the name Israel, not Judah, was to come upon the descendants of Joseph, upon Ephraim and Manasseh. Let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Who's done that in the latter days with great power? Notice now chapter 49 of Genesis. This is talking about you, my friends. This is not some ancient worn-out history. This is the thing that makes us sing, God bless America, from sea to shining sea. Notice this tremendous prophecy you've maybe never been told about. You've never understood. You're not taught about this in Sunday school. Genesis 49, Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Not back then, but in the last days of this earth's history, there are people that are going to be like this. Gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you see, Reuben was the firstborn and should have inherited the birthright. But did he? We feel by many references that Reuben is the modern people of France. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might in the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity. And the French have been great arbiters of culture and diplomacy for the last few hundred years. In the excellency of power, unstable as water, you shall not excel. Verse 19, he talks about Gad, just to give you an idea of this prophecy. Gad, a troop shall tramp upon him, but he shall triumph at last. Just a brief notice of Gad. Then verse 20, bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties. Probably the modern nation of Belgium, with their Belgian lace and the other things they manufacture. Naphtali is a deer let loose, he gives goodly words. Probably the descendants of Sweden who give the Nobel Prize. God gives just a brief verse about these people, these other tribes of Israel. But notice verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. The other nations have been jealous at the time of the end of the great blessings God gave Britain and America. But his bow remained in strength. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And in fact, some of you know about that legendary Jacob's Pillar Stone, as it was called, that was for so many years in Westminster Abbey in London, England. By the God of your father who will help you, by the Almighty who will bless you, with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, great healthy numbers of children. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. From sea to shining sea, God bless America. It's right here in this chapter because of God blessing Abraham through Isaac, through Israel, and now through Joseph and the descendants of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. This is what was to happen to Joseph at the end, in the latter days, as it says at the beginning of this chapter. Tremendous blessings shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Yes, Joseph was separate from his brothers. He was kept as a separate people. So we want to really understand that. In ancient times, they were somewhat separate. And in modern times, Britain has been offshore, not with the continental Catholic nations of Europe. America has been way over here, 3,000 miles away. We have been separate. My friends, picture the beauties of America from sea to shining sea. Picture the magnificent mountains, the fruited plains, the beautiful coastlines of this nation God has so richly blessed. We are a blessed people because we are the descendants of Joseph. And we are fulfilling this prophecy. We are the lost 10 tribes, or among the lost 10 tribes of Israel. They have been found. And God will probably take away even some of the remaining sea gates, though, if we don't repent. Because we have been blessed, but we have not thanked God or honored God in the blessings He's given us. And I now want to give you a dual prophecy. This is a dual prophecy that explains what's about to happen to us, as I say, unless we repent. Notice Leviticus 26, verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in due season. The land shall yield its produce. You'll eat your bread to the full and dwell in the land safely. So I'll give you peace in the land. Everything will go well with you. And then he says in verse 14, but if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and that's the way we're living today, if you despise my statutes or your soul abhors my judgments and you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I will also do this to you. I will appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever. He says down in verse 18, after this, if you don't obey, I will punish you seven times or sevenfold, as many translate it, for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. And I think, my friends, that's what's beginning to happen to us and will be happening to us during the next 2 or 3 years. September 11th may have just been the first shot across the bow to really humble America and the British people. So although Britain has already suffered, the British Empire is no more. Those sea gates have already been taken away. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron, your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain. Your land shall not produce its produce. If you still walk contrary, I'll bring upon you seven times more plagues according to your sin. First we have drought and famine, then we have disease epidemics, as Jesus explained would happen to the whole world, but this explains it's going to primarily hit the descendants of Joseph at the time of the end. These things will affect your life. These are specific things. Please listen. At this point, my friends, I invite you to write for an absolutely free copy of a powerful booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain. This booklet is fully documented, and yet it is fascinating to read. So call or write today and ask for your copy of What's Ahead for America and Britain. Call now and just ask for America in Prophecy. That's all you need to say, America in Prophecy.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. Are we living in America's last days? Notice Leviticus 26, where we left off. Verse 18, after all this, if you do not obey me, I will punish you sevenfold more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. We're gradually going to lose the pride of our power through the various humiliations the great God will put us through. How do I know this? I'm not smarter than anyone else. It's because the great God has put it here in His Word. And you're going to live to see this happen. Mark my words, over the next 5 or 7 or 10 years. And I think it's beginning right now. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven iron and your earth like bronze. He will begin to take away our rain, cause upsets in the weather, and of course cause us to have a lack finally of food, and then disease epidemics. We're about to enter this phase of prophecy, my friends, and we need to understand. So let's do get on with it and understand. Do we, in fact, obey God's commandments and statutes? Think about how God has blessed America and Britain, and yet how He looks at us now, in spite of the blessings He's given us. We have turned aside. Millions of young people are now living together without benefit of marriage. They just are living together. One-third, approximately, of newborn babies are illegitimate. That is amazing when you read that statistic. Increasingly vile and rotten portrayals of illicit sex are just permeating television and films. Absolutely gross and even demonic comments and pictures of illicit sex and even perverted sex are shown on the internet for tens of millions of young people to see and to drink in and be affected by. And the continuing murder of millions of unborn babies carries on, and of course it carries on unabated since September 11th. It's an abomination to God. Does God mean what He says about punishing His people if they turn aside and reject His commandments? Is this all just a dream? Or does God mean what He says? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30 now. And let me remind you, as I've done before, the book of Jeremiah, you can check me up on this, the book of Jeremiah was written over 100 years after ancient Israel went into slavery. So this is talking about a yet future punishment on the house of Israel. And it has not happened yet. It's going to happen in your lifetimes. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 4. Now these are the words the Eternal spoke concerning Israel and Judah. He's talking about the 10-tribe house of Israel and then the peoples of Judah who live primarily in New York and Los Angeles and Chicago and the big American cities, plus the little nation that calls itself Israel. More Jews live in the United States than live over there, as a matter of fact. But He's going to punish us together this time. We've heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace, God says, among Israel and Judah. Ask and see whether a man is in labor with child. So why do I see every man just bent over, scared to death, his face turned pale? Because of what is coming, of course. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It's coming upon the house of Israel, a time of trouble, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. Not the trouble of the Germans or the Chinese or the Russians. It's the trouble coming on the modern descendants of Israel, Jacob, and including the 10-tribe house of Israel. But he shall be saved out of it. He sure gets into it first. But it shall come to pass in that day, when he finally gets into it, and God begins to deliver him, that I will break his yoke from your neck and burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them. Our people are going into slavery. But they shall serve the Eternal their God and David their king, whom I will raise up to them. It's talking about the end time when King David is resurrected from the dead. When Christ comes back, he has to take a yoke of slavery off our peoples. This booklet I advertised is going to cover all of that in detail, and you need it. You need that badly. Why is all this happening? Notice verse 14. All your lovers have forgotten you. Our allies is sometimes translated. They're going to forget us and desert us. They do not seek you, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. God is going to bring other nations on us to punish us, to shake us to our foundations, so we will finally be willing to listen to what he says in this book. So we will finally seek the true God of heaven and begin to obey his ways. That's what God's going to do. For the multitude of your iniquities, the multitude of your sins, our sexual perversions, our rottenness, our evil, that's what God is looking at. Our people who curse and damn God's name and live in adultery and live in fornication and laugh at it and put it on television and radio like it has no meaning. It's all a big joke, isn't it? It's not a joke to God. God is not pleased with that at all. Because your sins have increased. You'd better believe they're increased. Read all the statistics about the rise of our crime and our sins and our vileness and our drunkenness and our drug addiction over the last 20 or 30 years. Just go straight up like a rocket. That's what the charts look like, defining this kind of thing. Why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities, our grievous sins, because your sins have increased. I have done these things to you. Yes, my friends, we need to understand. Picture the millions of people in the drug scene, their minds being blasted, their lives being totally wasted because they've not been taught a purpose of life. They do not understand about God's supreme purpose. God is not real to them, and they've turned away. And the only thing that will shake them is God's intervention and God's loving correction, his punishment. And God's going to do it in love because he loves them, not because he hates them. Notice in 2 Timothy now in your New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, yes, the last days of this earth civilization, as we now know it, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Does that describe our society? You'd better believe it does. You'd better believe it does. And God is going to intervene, and God is going to have to chasten us in a way we have never been punished before. Again, my friends, be sure to call or write now for the absolute key to understanding Bible prophecy, this outstanding booklet. It will make the headline news come alive as you begin to see God work in dealing with the major nations of this world. So pick up the phone and request your free copy of What's Ahead for America and Britain. Call now and just ask for America in Prophecy. That's all you need to say. America in Prophecy. They'll know the book that you want.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
My friends, the time has come for you to act on God's truth. As the events of September 11th proved to be just the beginning of God Almighty intervening and beginning to humble America, Canada, Britain, and the British descended peoples of the earth particularly, you and your loved ones need to seek for the true God, the God of heaven, as never before. You only have one life. Think about it. It's important that you get these things straight and come to know God and not just guess what you're doing, not just suppose you're in the right religion, not just suppose you're going to be all right. As event after event happens, as punishment after punishment comes on our nation, please wake up. Remember this program. Remember what you're hearing right now. Notice another dual prophecy, which has definite implications for our peoples now. Turn back to Deuteronomy 4. This is not just for the ancient Jews. This is for us today. I tell you, as God's servant, this is a dual prophecy that has to do not only with ancient times, but a dual indication for us today, America and the British descended peoples. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and corrupt and make a carved image, and we have all kinds of literal images in our churches and pictures of Christ and God. You can't put God inside a picture frame. You can't put the living Christ who say shines like the sun inside of a picture frame. But we make gods out of all kinds of material things in our nation. And God knows that. So he's talking in the language of that day. You make a carved image of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land. And God will begin to take us into slavery, my friends. And God says in verse 27, the Eternal will scatter you among the peoples. You will be left few in number among the nations where the Eternal will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor smell. But from there you will seek. Finally, our people will wake up and cry out and say, oh God, I wish we'd listened. Finally, you will begin to seek the Eternal, your God, and you will find him if you seek for him with all your heart and all your soul when you're in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days when you turn to the Eternal, your God, and obey his voice. Yes, when these things come upon you, my friends, in the latter days, God help you to hear now. God help you to act now. Yes, Moses knew in advance that Israel would rebel in the latter days. And again, we are the descendants, my friends. We are of the lost 10 tribes. This prophecy is for America today. Will you personally begin to seek the true God and obey him? Will you act on the precious knowledge you've been receiving? Once again, call right now and request your free copy of What's Ahead for America and Britain. Tune into Tomorrow's World program every single week. We give you things you just can't get anywhere else. On this program, you'll gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events, of the coming prophecies of tomorrow's world, and the truth about God's entire way of life, so you can be under God's protection. You can be under the shadow of God's wings if you will seek God, if you will act on the truth. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free, no cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.